Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission. Our topic today is Third Article Witnessing. The Apostles' Creed is the oldest of the three ecumenical creeds, and it's the shortest. Despite its brevity, this creed is packed full of rich theology. We recite the Apostles' Creed often enough to recognize that it is a great summary of what we confess as Christians. The three articles of the Creed are clear and concise statements of what we believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Together, these three articles are a comprehensive proclamation of what we witness. For the third article, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, provides us with something more. It also speaks to how we witness. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go around reciting the third article to everyone as a way of witnessing, though I do find that walking people through the Apostles' Creed can be an effective way of sharing what we believe, teach, and confess about the triune God. Now, instead, I'm encouraging you to consider how what we confess in the third article shapes your witness and gives you confidence and encouragement as a witness of Jesus. The way in which the third article shows us how to witness is captured very well in Martin Luther's explanation of it in the Small Catechism. Luther writes, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." This opening statement of Luther's explanation of the third article gives us a firm foundation for our witness of Jesus by starting with our own inability to come to faith in him. It recognizes that in our natural state, we, like all of mankind, were utterly incapable of doing anything to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We were, in the words of the second chapter of Ephesians, dead in trespasses and sins, and by nature children of wrath. We confess in our understanding of the third article that we could not come to Jesus by our own efforts. We could not decide to believe in him by our own reason, no matter how convincing someone might have been to us. We could not come to him by the strength of our own will, no matter how much we wanted love, joy, hope, and forgiveness. In other words, we could not save ourselves. What does the fact that we are unable to save ourselves have to do with being a faithful and effective witness of Jesus? If I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my reason or strength is certainly not going to enable someone else to believe in him. In the third article, we confess the reality that my salvation doesn't depend upon me, and we come to realize that neither does the salvation of my neighbor, coworker, or family member. It follows then that if we couldn't do anything to save ourselves, we are utterly incapable of saving other people. Unfortunately, many Christians in America, including some very influential Christians, don't believe what we confess in the third article of the Creed. They start by denying that our wills are, by nature, captive to sin and death. Instead, they insist that every human being has been born with a free will that has not been destroyed by man's fall into sin, and with that free will, the ability to choose to believe in Jesus Christ. Because they believe this, they approach each unbelieving person as someone who can be convinced of the truth in the gospel, and by his or her own reason and strength, come to Jesus Christ and believe in him. They do this by leading and encouraging an unbelieving person to make a decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, which is why this understanding of the Christian faith is called decision theology. Rather than confess with us that my salvation is totally the work of the Holy Spirit, that I am wholly dependent upon his grace in order to come to faith, they believe and teach that my salvation is dependent upon my reason and strength, that my salvation is up to me. Our confession that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him stands in complete contrast to decision theology. But decision theology is very prominent and very influential in American Christianity. We see it expressed in large rallies and crusades in which hundreds or thousands of people come forward to decide for Christ in altar calls. We also see it in small-scale settings where individual Christians are taught techniques for leading people to a decision for Christ and to have them pray the sinner's prayer to make Jesus their Savior. The Christians who embrace these things aren't evil or mean-spirited or even poorly motivated. They really want people to know Jesus. But their understanding of God's word is faulty, and their view of how we come to faith is a dangerous expression of works righteousness. It negates God's grace. Rather than embrace the idea that my salvation and the salvation of other people depends upon me in whole or in part, we believe and confess in the third article that we are fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and we trust Him to bring us to and preserve us in the faith. We know that we can trust Him, for as we confess in the third article, He has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. His grace and His fidelity provide us with the confidence that not only are we secure in the hands of the Holy Spirit, but that we can depend on Him to bring those to whom we witness into salvation as He wills. For we also confess that He calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps the whole Christian church on earth. Yes, He keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In other words, we have the confidence in the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us and others to faith in Jesus, because it is wholly His work. He does not depend on our efforts whatsoever, though He certainly makes use of them. That the Spirit makes use of us in His calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying, and keeping others in the faith is confessed by us in the third article when we profess, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church." Just how does the Holy Spirit make use of our efforts? First, by gathering us into the church, and then by using the church to proclaim the saving name of Jesus. Or as Luther puts it in the Large Catechism, He leads us first into His holy congregation and places us in the bosom of the church. Through the church, He preaches to us and brings us to Christ. And so, Luther adds, the Spirit has His own congregation in the world, which is the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's Word. Through the Word He reveals and preaches, He illumines and enkindles hearts so that they understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the Word. We should expect the Holy Spirit to work through the Word because He has promised to do so. But where and when the Spirit chooses to work has not been revealed to us. Instead, in the third chapter of John, our Lord clearly tells us, along with Nicodemus, that the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Because we do not, and cannot, know where and when the Holy Spirit will work, third article witnessing compels us to throw all caution to the wind and to proclaim the Word liberally and frequently in the expectation that the Spirit is working through His church. The focus then of third article witnessing is not on the results, which are beyond our control, but on the actions to which we are called as those gathered to be the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's Word. As third article witnesses, we are freed from the burden of being responsible for the outcome of our witness, and we are joyfully able to accept the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. Understanding what this means, because we confess Him in the third article, we answer our call to share the gospel with all people, not with the expectation that we will convince them to become followers of Jesus through their own reason or strength, but with the expectation that the Holy Spirit will make people holy, as His name implies.
We thank thee. From Christopher Parkening on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Good morning, I'm Andy Bates. Thanks so much for taking some time to spend some time with us this morning to hear God's Word, to study God's Word as we start off your day with the Word of God and prayer. A little bit of sacred music to help sanctify your morning. What a great piece from Pastor Wood this morning on third article witnessing. What does this mean? When we look at the third article of God's Word, he's right. It's the shortest article when it comes to the explanation. But at the same time, just because it's short doesn't mean that it isn't important. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning to hear God's Word, to reflect on what God has given us to do. We've got morning prayer coming up in just a little bit with that sermonette from Pastor Frank Raffato from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. I hope you can join us for that as we dig into, well, as we gather together around His Word to pray His very Word right back to Him. What a great thing to pray. Stick around for more His Time. Coming up right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.